So we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12 today. As you may remember, we have been looking at examples of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, and we kind of narrow down to the person, the example of faith, which is Jesus Christ. So let's just read the text. It's from Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Last Sunday we had Ictus Social, and it was a good time of getting to know one another. There was one question that actually there were two activities that we thought we'll do. One was successfully done, but it took longer than expected. So the other activity was sharing about people that are inspiring for you in your life, like inspirations in your life, right? I thought that is a great way to understand each other, and some of the figures, heroes, examples that perhaps you grew up hearing and being inspired of. Maybe we could do that for another time, and I think that still remains a very interesting thing to learn about one another. But I wanted to just say a little bit about one person that comes to my mind when I thought about this, and that person is David Livingstone. He's a Scottish missionary, you may know well. His aim was to go to China, but because of several issues, he could not go to China. But he ended up going to the southern part of Africa, and he was quite successful in the sense that he was able to do a lot of activities. He went as a missionary, but he was also an adventurer and an explorer. He was a medical person, he was a doctor, he was a scientist, right? He did a lot of expeditions and explored Africa, the dark continent back then, shrouded in mystery. And he did a lot of things. And this drawing is one from his book that apparently was very popular back in the UK. And it was semi-travelogue, semi-missionary report, semi-autobiography, in which he writes about these places that he goes to and his ministry, that the works that he did. And I remember growing up, not so much his story, his direct writing, but stories that were written about him, reading the story, and it's like, I wanted to be that kind of a person. Primarily, to be honest, because of the exploring kind of vibe that it gives. Like, I could imagine the African savannah, like stretches of land with completely in the wild, and I grew up with that imagination, right? And there was a huge inspiration for me. But growing up, of course, I realized that things are a lot more complicated. David Livingstone, for all his great works, is also a product of his time. And in fact, this place, as you may know, is called Victoria Falls, and it's kind of weird that he discovered a place and names it after his queen. And so there are flaws, there are complicated things with that. But the truth is that he is an inspiration. He was an inspiration for me. And I would love to hear these kinds of stories as well from your own upbringing as well. So keep that cooking in the back of your head for maybe the next social or the following. And I think it'll be a great chance for us to share these stories from our own experiences too. But I tell this story to talk, of course, about the inspiration, but also about the fact that these people who are examples of faith are not perfect. And I don't say this to be flippant or to be disrespectful, but to acknowledge the reality, right? The reality that these people did what they could, and with the flaws, with the sinfulness, but they did what they could. In fact, that is the point of examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You have gone through a couple of the stories, and if you have gone through the stories of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you realize that these people are people who are deeply flawed, they're imperfect, and yet they had faith in God, and yet they put their trust in God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, makes a similar point when he talks about Abraham. He says, even Abraham, like for all his greatness, right? We know Abraham was not flawless. He was very complicated, right? His relationship with his wife. But Paul says, even somebody like Abraham is described as righteous because he had faith in God. And so even Paul is almost amazed that imperfect people like us can be called righteous. But there is one example that is not flawed. There is one example that can stand your test of scrutiny. There's one person that can stand your analysis. For these people, these figures of faith, you look at them from a distance, but you come closer, you start to realize there are flaws, there are problems, there are things that are not so honorable, maybe in their private life, so on and so forth. But there's one, the closer you come, the more you're inspired in your faith. The closer you draw to him, the closer you know him, the more you get to know him, the more you analyze, the more you zoom in and study and look to him, fix your eyes on that person, we are inspired in the faith of life. And of course, that is Jesus, right? Jesus is that person who you can zoom in, you can study, you can analyze, you can imitate, because he is the perfect example of faith. And that's what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. After giving all these examples, he sums it up. He focuses in on Jesus, and he calls him the perfect example, the author of faith. Of course, elsewhere, we are told the same by Paul as well. Follow the example of Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Have the same mind as Christ, on and on, right? The encouragement that we ought to follow Christ, to look to Christ. And it's a good thing that we have Christ, because, as we said, all these human examples, regardless of how inspiring they are not perfect. We need more than examples. And that's the focus for today's sermon. Why do we need more than examples for us in our faith, life of faith? Why do we need more than examples in our faith? So think of the examples that we have covered in the past few weeks. And we don't have to go into all of this, but we one look at them and we know that they were successful in some ways. Some of them were tragedies, right? And I can think of Samson. I mean, who is a better example of a frustrating person than Samson, right? I mean, how impossible this guy is. Like, he keeps going and going to God and falling short. I mean, messing up his responsibility, right? Deeply flawed, deeply sinful, they're imperfect, but we see from these examples that they put their faith in God. We also note that in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that these examples from the Old Testament, they knew about their imperfections. They knew that they were imperfect, but they knew that God has favor on them. God loves them. How? To be honest, the author of Hebrews says they have no idea in a way. They don't know. They don't understand. Those things are still in the unknown. They don't understand how God can have favor on them, but they continue to trust in God. The author of Hebrews says they were looking for something more than what they had. They wanted to be made perfect in God. They wanted to follow God. You might think of them as people who are fumbling along, not knowing where to go. All they cared for was that they wanted to obey God. They wanted to be with God. That's all they cared for. Otherwise, we see the same pattern. They're fumbling along. They're making mistakes. They're flawed. They're sinful. And yet all they wanted was they put their faith in God and they wanted to be with God. Also, we note that all these examples, you will have a hard time trying to find a single theme through all of these examples, because there's no single theme. Some of them were successful. Some of them were not successful. Some of them had victories like Gideon and Barak and Jephthah. But some others were tragedies like Samson, or the thing of the martyrs who were killed for their faith, persecuted for their faith. So there's no one pattern, so to say. They did many things, But even for those who are successful, the author of Hebrews says that they never got what they were promised. They never got the prize. And I thought that that's really strange, because didn't Gideon get the victory that he wanted? Wasn't that his prize? Didn't Barak defeat the enemies? Wasn't that his prize, right? Didn't the people of Israel go into the promised land? Wasn't that their prize? But the author of Hebrews says that they did not get what they were promised. In other words, their eyes were set on something more than what they got. Something more than this life. Something more than this prize. If we put it in contemporary language, if I may put it in a contemporary reflection, it would be to say, these guys got the dream job. They have the dream job. They achieve the ambitions. They achieve the highest level of whatever it is they're trying to climb. They build the perfect home. They had built the perfect family. And yet for them, they didn't consider that to be their prize. That was not their dream, so to say. They were still looking for something more. They were looking for God's promise and God's fulfillment. In comparison to God's fulfillment and promise, all those things, successes, were not worth it. They were not successful yet. Their eyes were set on somewhere else. Their eyes were set on something else. The other side of the story, when we think about the people who were tragedies, even in the depths of suffering, even in the experience of the loss and sacrifice for these examples of faith, they had a sense of peace in that darkness. They didn't think that all was lost. They were still looking for God's promise. They were still looking for fulfillment. Their eyes were set somewhere else. See, all of these, whether they were successful or unsuccessful failures, all of them had one similar thing, which was that they had their eyes on somewhere else. They had their eyes looking for what God was going to give them. That's why Hebrews says none of them received what was promised to them. Because the promise that they were longing for was to love God and to worship God and to be with God, to be made perfect. That was their dream. That was their prize. Not the house, not the empires, not the victories, not even their own sacrifice and piety. Their dream was to love God and to be with God. So, to be fair, looking at these examples, yes, they are imperfect. Yes, they're flawed and they're sinful. And their life may not be the best example for us. But what we can admire about these people is that even at the heights of their success, they would say, if I don't have God, this is not success. This is not the reward that I'm looking for. Or even at the depths of their suffering, when they have nothing, and yet all they want is to have God. Not comfort, not pleasures, but to have to obey God and to be with God. That one we can appreciate. That one we can admire about these examples of faith, that they put their eyes on something else. And that is God's promise. And I think that's why these examples of faith, they did not rely on their own achievements. They were looking for something more. This time when I was reflecting on this text, I've read this text so many times, but I was really struck by the language of cloud, right? And we all know what is cloud. And I don't think this is necessarily what the writer of Hebrews meant when he says this, but I thought it was quite fitting that the metaphor of cloud is used. What is a cloud? A cloud is there. Like, you can't really tell where it starts, where it ends. It's like vague, ambiguous. In some sense, it's shapeless, right? It's fragile. It comes, it goes, it disappears, and it's gone. It's there. It's dreamy. And I thought, wow, it's kind of interesting that these witnesses are portrayed as clouds, because if that is all that examples do, which is show us a paradigm from far away, that's what all this is about, these dreams, that they're inspiration, yes, but they are not really helpful for us. They're like a poster in front of our, I don't know if you do this when you're a student or even now, you put a picture of an inspirational person in front of your desktop or in front of your table, so that you get up in the morning, you see that person, it's like, oh, you're inspired. That's all that it does. Like, it inspires you, but it cannot help you beyond that. Just like these examples who are fumbling along, we are also limited to being to fumbling along, and that's all that we can do. If it hadn't been for the author and the perfecter of faith that makes these examples to be real for us, to be that makes this a possibility for us, if it hadn't been for Jesus, all this would have been just a cloud, a dream, an inspiration, a feel-goods of being inspired. But it's Jesus who enables this dream, these examples, to become a reality for us, to make this tangible for us. As Hebrews says, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. It makes it more than just feel-good inspiration. It makes it something that we can live in, we can experience in our life. Because if all we have in the Bible is inspirational lives like Jephthah or Moses, no matter how great these stories are, how realistic would that be, right? I mean, it can't really land in our experience, in our real lives. But it is Jesus who makes that possible, the life of faith possible for us. So let us focus in on the text that we are looking at today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus is called the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Pioneer, let's reflect on the theme of pioneer. Other translations would say Jesus is the author, or Jesus is the leader, the founder of our faith. What does it mean that Jesus is the founder of the author of our faith? I think it means we can keep things simple here and say, just as an author brings a story into reality, if you are an author, you something that didn't exist, you write it out. You write out a story, and the story exists. In the same way, Jesus brings to reality the life of faith. He is the one who authors the life of faith, who makes it real. The other terms that's used for this is pioneer or captain, somebody who goes in front of us, let's say into the wilderness, somebody like David Livingstone in some sense, who goes into unknown territories and opens a way for others who might like to follow along as well. Jesus is the one who goes before us and who opens the way for us, for those who are willing to follow along. And so what Jesus does is, instead of fumbling along, just like the Old Testament figures, Jesus makes a way for us that we don't have to fumble along. We have a path that we can follow in following Jesus Christ. Jesus finds the way, and Jesus makes the way for us. And that is why he is the author. He knows the way. He authors the way, and he makes the way for us. So I think there are some points of encouragement for us here. Jesus is the author or the pioneer of our faith. That reminds us that we have in Jesus we have an example who is not just a distant example, a poster in front of our eyes or something like that. Jesus is the one who is superior to all these examples, who has gone before us, and he leads us in our life of faith. The fact that Jesus is the author of our faith also means that the life of faith is not random. It's a story, it's a life that has been written and led, authored by Jesus. And so many times in our life, we get confused. We are perhaps disheartened. We think we are trying very hard, but things just doesn't work out. Sometimes we feel like things are in a mess. We can remain in faith because this is not a random story that we're living. We are following Jesus who has gone before us. And so we can keep faith because our life of faith is authored by Jesus, and Jesus is the one who has led the way. Also, the fact that Jesus is the author also means, not just the author, but the perfecter, means that the story has been written. Jesus will perfect or complete our faith. It's like when we are in being treated in a hospital, and that we become the responsibility of the doctor. It's not me who has to heal myself. The doctor says, "You are under my responsibility. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you get the healing that you need." In the same way, we are under the responsibility of Jesus. He is the one who perfects our faith. He's the one who completes and fulfills our faith. And so there's that encouragement in our life as well, that it's our life of faith has been authored and perfected by Jesus. Unlike the examples that we see in the New Old Testament. In we said that they were sometimes they had no idea, but they just trusted in God. They were fumbling along. They don't know where to go. Unlike them, we are not in the blind. We have an idea because we have Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have an idea. We don't have just an example. We have a pioneer who goes before us. We have a prototype who is the original design that we are made in his image. And so we are not in the blind, just like the Old Testament. We are aware. We can know that the pioneer and the author of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. We can follow his example. And indeed, that is what in the month of March, you might know that the March is the Passion Week is in the month of March this year. And so for the remaining Sundays of March, we will be doing exactly that, looking at Jesus as an example of faith, and culminating with Easter Sunday, of course. But this is a time for us to think about Jesus as the example of faith, the pioneer and the author of faith. We will be looking at his life, his death, his resurrection, and these are the things that makes our faith tangible and real, that makes it more than just clouds up in the air, but realities that we can live in our life. We know that, that's what his sacrifice, the sacrifice of the cross, is what makes this possible for us. So Jesus is the author and the captain, the founder, the pioneer of our faith. He's also the perfecter of our faith. He fulfills the faith, the life of faith that we have. We all know that we still experience sin in this life, sinfulness in this life. We are still growing in our spiritual maturity. We are still growing in our understanding of salvation and living out our salvation in this life. And every single day we experience falling short of God's goodness and God's glory. That's why what a comfort it is that Jesus is the one who perfects this life of faith, right? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, lives in us and he's perfecting us, helping us to follow Jesus. So because of the work, the life of Jesus, the cloud that we see in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Old Testament, the cloud becomes witnesses for us, telling us that, yes, we know you are imperfect. We know that you are like me, flawed and problematic and messy. But the witnesses encourage us and say that despite all our weaknesses and flaws and sinfulness, we can run the race of faith. We can run the race of faith because Jesus is our pioneer and our perfecter. And therefore, since we have seen what the Old Testament people did not see, and that is Jesus, since we can follow the pioneer and the author of our faith, the perfecter of our faith, therefore, let us, verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. That needs to be our focus. That needs to be our prize, just like the Old Testament, the examples of the Old Testament. That needs to be our goal and our focus. That needs to be what drives our life and our life of faith. What is it that draws our eyes? What is the prize for us in our life? What is it that we fix our eyes on, you know, every day in our work, in our lives, in all that we do, right? What is it that we fix our eyes on, and which is the prize? I think we can learn from these witnesses, from these examples of faith, that they looked for more than what this world could give them. They looked for more than what this world could give them. They look for more than the success and the victories of this world. They look, as much as the promised land is great, as much as victories over enemies is great, success is great, power is great, fame is great, and as much as all of that is great, they cannot fulfill us. They cannot give us the perfection and the completion that only Christ can give. It is only God through Jesus who can give us that. So I think we can learn from these examples who looked to Jesus, who looked to God. And we, in this day and age here who can look to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I think is quite powerful. And I would encourage you to even memorize this because I think this sums up so much of what it means to have a life of faith. What should we do then to look to Jesus? Therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, the examples of faith, from Livingstone to Moses to Abraham, these examples who tell us that, who show us by example that they look to God, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There are things in our life that hinders us that are not necessarily wrong or sinful, but they hinder us from living the life of faith. And of course, there are sins in our life that are wrong, that we should be giving up. Let us throw off all of the things that hinder us and entangle us, and let us run the race, run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Throw off everything that hinders, throw off the sin that easily entangles, and our eyes should be on the prize. Anything that hinders, anything that distracts us from this life, this life of faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus, is not worth holding on to. But it is, as examples of faith tell us, it is to look to Jesus, look to God, and look to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Some of you may know that this is the season of Lent in other church traditions. And Lent is a time when a lot of people give up something, may fast or something. That's a way of throwing off something that might hinder. It could be something that throwing off that easily entangles them. But Lent is a time historically when the churches around the world would focus in on Jesus, the person of Jesus. And I think that's maybe you may be doing something in your own walk of faith as well, or maybe not. But I think this is a great time for us to be reminded of this message and to be reminded to look to Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, throwing off something maybe that hinders us, throwing off something that deciding to cut off the sinfulness that entangles us, that stops us from living the life of faith. So as we go through this few Sundays, preparing our hearts towards Easter, Good Friday and Easter, I invite you to fix our eyes on Jesus, because he's the author. He is more than just an example for us. He's more than just somebody fumbling along, trying to make things happen. He is the author. He is the perfecter of our faith. And how wonderful it is that we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us, helping us if we want to live that life as well. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to this world and he lived a life for us that we may see and we may behold and we may follow. Lord, we thank you that far from the vagueness, you have given us an example who lived this life and who went through all of the experiences that we go through. The brokenness, the loneliness, of being forsaken, and who even went through experience of temptation and yet did not sin for our sake. Lord, we thank you for such an example in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it is our prayer that in the next few weeks, as we think about Jesus, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, help us to move closer to him in our life, that we may become more like him and we may experience your saving grace, your saving work in our lives, in each of our lives. Lord, so we pray that you will help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the perfecter of our faith, until we see him face to face and until our faith is made perfect on that day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.